All right, well, welcome everybody. As we try to make, I think, continued progress with the Finance Working Group, I thought we took a good step forward in Beijing, and certainly, I think... Good morning. Who joined?
Hello, this is Roloff. Hi, Byron.
Hi, Roloff. Welcome. We're just getting started right now. So the goal here is just to continue to build on the momentum that I think we started in Beijing, certainly with the different tone and approach that ICANN and Xavier had taken to this discussion. And I really just wanted to use today as essentially a working session to get feedback on the set of documents that I had sent to the working group, which I believe were really an evolution of the work that we did and the documents that we saw in Beijing. And as best I could, tried to capture both the detail and the spirit of the discussions in Beijing. So today, for the most part, I would like to take feedback and have a conversation around the direction that you see here in the documents, the framework that's outlined here, and just get input into that so that as we work towards Durban, hopefully we can come to something that we have general consensus on putting forward to the community for further input and feedback. Is there anything else that people would like to add to the agenda for today's call?
No.
Okay. Then we'll just dig right in. So I thought, you know, there are really a few documents, but the core ones are what I would call a principles document, which is the one titled Voluntary Contributions. The other piece is the Excel model, a very simple model that we built around the bands that gave everybody an opportunity to say or to play with the contribution values themselves, because at the end of the day, you know, if we look at this as an equation, we don't have that many variables to play with, but this model essentially provides everybody an opportunity to try to fine-tune the dials, as it were, to come up with a total contribution number for the whole community. And then the appendix, which I thought would be a good place to start just as a recap, bringing everybody back up to speed on where we're at. And really, this summarizes, as you can see on the screen, I think where ICANN got to, which was a big step from where we have been for most of this discussion. And that's really putting numbers to it. And as you know, as crazy as that may seem, this in Beijing was really the first time we saw actual hard numbers. And they're reflected here in the three categories. The expenses specifically identified as being a direct result of supporting CCNSO-related activities, and that's the $974,000. And then items that are considered shared expenses or activities that we enjoy the benefit of the resources expended by ICANN, but as do other communities. And so we share those expenses among a range of other communities, and they're listed here. And I think they're certainly the obvious ones, the ICANN board, ICANN meetings, IANA, and IDNs. And we've also, in that category, taken into account the CCTLD ICANN host meeting contributions. So that's why you see that as a negative number. I hope that's clear here. And the total of the specific and the shared is just shy of $3.7 million, which shouldn't be a surprise. That's the number we all saw in Beijing. And I think the other really big difference from the discussion we've had with ICANN since this working group started up until Beijing was around the global expenses. And that's where ICANN for all time until Beijing had been effectively allocating the CC community a very significant dollar amount in the or as part of the global component. And the discussion around an exchange of values finally took root, and ICANN has basically accepted the fact that the exchange of value here, the value that CCs bring to ICANN and the overall ecosystem versus the global resources expended by ICANN, for which we enjoy some benefit in some way, shape, or form, that will be very difficult to specifically quantify on both sides, but there's a recognition that it's there, and fundamentally coming to the conclusion that, you know, let's just agree that there's significant value expended on both sides, and we'll call it even on that category. And that's, I think, a major step forward. So, you know, this appendix slide just attempts to capture in a very simple, easy single page, you know, the actual numbers associated with the categories and put, you know, a final target number, at least certainly from ICANN's perspective, in that bottom right cell, which is the 3.691 million. So my sense is that's a reasonable place to start in terms of a number. And then really what we need to focus more on is, okay, if that is a target number, then how is that going to be reasonably distributed among the CCs? And if we go back to Beijing, maybe for those of you who perused the transcript, the 25 pages of transcript from that meeting, really what we did is had general agreement that the framework, the banded model framework, was still the appropriate one. And really the key here was to find a set of principles and a set of bands that reasonably distributed or allocated at least the working number, $3.7 million across the CC community. So that, I think, is generally where we left Beijing. And then with that, I've tried to put more words, essentially, to that framework in terms of a set of principles. Are there any questions or comments at this point before we move to the next slide? Okay, hearing none. Liz, please, go ahead.
Well, you're talking about the appendix slide?
Yes.
Because we're supposed to see all the specific and shared costs from Xavier, and he promised to send us some extra materials on the shared, I think. And we never got it. And I spoke to him in Los Angeles like a month ago, and he would send it to us because he thought he took too much into our share. Well, I just haven't seen those numbers. I'm sorry to be picky on the numbers, but I agree that we shouldn't get too much into details on the numbers, but I still think it's a lot of money we're talking about, and when I see how we divide things, it's just.
Okay. So if he's committed to providing something, he should provide it, and then Bart, maybe we could take note of that and follow up and press on Xavier, who will be on the call on June 25th. So we will remind him.
Yeah.
And also we can talk about it live with him on the 25th, though. If he is committed to it, then I'm hoping he's going to deliver it before then.
Yeah, I think he was. I think he just, I don't know if he's still working on the numbers or what the problem is.
This is Bart. Go ahead, Bart.
I know Xavier is overwhelmed currently by the budget, etc., internally. But I'll see him anyway, so I'll remind him. And if you look at the structure of the calls, say the way we structured it, it was intended that, say, around the 25th, we would revisit and finalize the, say, the total amount.
So that certainly is an action item for him then, if he's made that commitment. I mean, regardless if he's busy, if he made the commitment, he should honor it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, that said, Lise, actually, since you bring that up, and then let's not transition to the next slide just yet. In Beijing, you and Alan had the opportunity to sit down with Xavier and dig in a little deeper into the numbers. My recollection of that was you seemed to have been provided comfort and were relatively confident at that point that the more detailed numbers actually supported the higher level numbers we see here. Could you just give us your take on what happened in Beijing?
Yeah, I agree. When we saw the numbers, they seemed like the numbers he put into our costs were actually showing somewhere in the budget. But, you know, we never kind of said, well, it's okay to use $377,000 on governance to members on the ICANN board. For me, it was like seeing, could I see a logic in what he took, what part of our cost he put in to this specific and shared values. And I think there's a nice business logic in it, but I still think it's a lot of money they use on the CCNSO group, and I'm not sure it should be that much. But the our amount that's shared with the other constituencies, that's fair if you get this. What I'm trying to explain is that I still think we use too much money on the group, but it's used. Well, it looks like it's used.
Okay. All right, well, that's certainly a reasonable comment, and I will make sure that I press on Xavier as well and remind him of his commitment to you and, by extension, to this group.
Lisa, this is Bart. Could you be so kind to send me an email what you ask him, because I know...
And,
what I ask him? Oh, yes. But he know, because I met him in Los Angeles when I was there with the RTMT2 group, and I talked to him, and he said, oh, I'm just not really sure of the numbers, and I'll send it to you when I'm ready. But actually, he promised it to Alan and me 2 days after the meeting, so
he never
got around to it. But.
No, but it's just as, say, so I know what you asked him, so I don't ask him, because I'll see him tomorrow anyway. Is that I don't ask him something different. That's why I ask.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay, that's great, Bart, if you could remind him.
I'll send you an email.
Yeah, okay, thank you, Lise.
Okay, moving on then. But that's a good point, Lise, and I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you. If we could go to the first slide titled Voluntary Contributions of CCTLDs. I think it was at the top of this presentation. Christina?
Fire.
Who's driving this?
Yeah.
Eduardo?
Yeah, it's me,
Meyer.
Sorry. Which slide was it?
The first one.
Yes. No worries.
Eduardo, please go ahead.
Just to mention as a thing that Matthew bring to the team a few days ago is that we have to see how these numbers can be affected considering the new GTLD program in the, or the scope of ICANN activities within the frame of 5 years now considering the new GTLD program. Then for the final numbers, we should ask or we should consider that probably this could be affected for the new structure of ICANN in the next years.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, Eduardo. And
I don't know if I'm
Matthew, is Matthew on the call? Did Matthew check in? Gabby?
Sorry, I was on mute. No, okay. Matthew has not joined
the
call.
Okay. So that's a good point. Thanks for raising it, Eduardo. It was also raised in Beijing, I think, by Matthew. And I think that's a very relevant point. So just to recap it, it's really saying that as the GTLD world evolves and as ICANN no doubt expends more resources against that part of their activities, as a relative proportion, there's a potential for the resource percentage or proportion allocated against the CC space to perhaps drop. Or at the very least, we don't know how that proportion is going to change and how do we reflect that over time. And I certainly thought it was a relevant comment. The thing that I think where we can capture that is in the shared expenses. I mean, the specific expenses allocated against us, I think, are sort of hard costs to support what we do. And regardless of proportionality of expenses between communities, that's not really impacted because those are just hard dollar costs expended against CCs. So you can kind of strip that one out. The global one, we're just agreeing that it's going to be an exchange of value as opposed to an exchange of dollars. So really where you come up against it is in the shared shared expenses. And my sense is that that's going to be a set of expenses that have to be reviewed on an annual basis. Well, all of these will be. And that's where you'll see that proportionality change. And I think it's up to us to make sure that we're comfortable on a yearly basis that that is accurately reflecting the proportion of expenses allocated against us. And I think what we might see is over time, expense items like the ICANN meetings or IANA or potentially IDNs, our proportion of those expenses would likely float down as more and more GTLDs come online. But I think, to your specific question, Eduardo and Matthew, by extension, is that we would be able to capture the change in allocations between communities in this category with the assumption, the underpinning assumption, that we review this on an annual or regular basis. Now, ICANN's going to come back with these numbers on an annual basis, I'm assuming, but that is only an assumption, and we'd be able to capture that change in proportionality at that time. Does that make sense to you, Eduardo? And anybody else who wants to comment on this particular issue? If you're talking, Eduardo, okay.
Can I assume that, I'm saying that, yes, it makes sense. But at the same time, I guess that we should include in the model that ICANN should run every year the exercise of the allocation cost because it could be affected in a year basis. And as, yeah.
Okay, well, maybe that's actually
in the model from my
point
of view.
Maybe that's actually a really good segue to go to the next slide, which is up on to the voluntary contribution slide. The first slide. That one, yes. So we'll just park that notion for a second, Eduardo, and go to this slide, which is where we tried to capture at a high level essentially the principles, maybe guidelines, that would underpin this agreement between the CCNSO and ICANN. And just to tie it back to the previous conversation, maybe there's something missing here that actually, as a principle or a guideline, captures that this will be done on a regular basis. Because I don't think that is actually articulated here. But if we did that specifically, then I think we'd be able to capture the essence of Eduardo and Matthew's comments. But that said, you know, there are really only five or seven, 6 points here that were designed to set out the framework or the high-level principles and still allow us to have some maneuverability inside the framework. So I wonder if I could ask if there are any comments, suggestions. Did we miss anything here other than what Eduardo has already surfaced? Did we capture the spirit and the essence of our output in Beijing?
Yeah, Byron, it's Keith here. Just sort of following up on Eduardo's comments, I'd be a little bit reluctant to see frequent or yearly reviews of the costs. I kind of quite like the idea of doing it every 3 or 4 or even 5 years, given that you don't want the fee to be changing on a regular annual basis. You want it to be fairly stable over time. So looking at it once periodically seems reasonably appropriate and sensible to me.
Okay. So a slight difference of opinion, perhaps, on the frequency. Let me just press on that a bit, Keith. Do you think, you know, we have talked, and certainly we have made it known to ICANN that, you know, whatever the final shape of this looks like, that we would want it to be in place for at least 5 years before we had this conversation again, if not longer. If you had your druthers, would you have it reviewed a couple of times over that five-year period, or would you say for this five-year period it's going to be X?
I think.
I mean, where would you find comfort between those 2 points on the spectrum?
Yeah, I think if you were going to have any review, you'd have to wait at least for the first 3 years. To see if the ramping up of the fees was working and so on and so on. So no more than one review. But I think Eduardo was hinting at the idea of having more frequent reviews than that. And that just, I think I may not have heard Eduardo correctly, but that's what I took. And certainly I wouldn't want more than one review in a five-year period anyway. But to me, the long term seems to be more rational, it avoids any swinging or ping-ponging of the fees. And I think the hardest thing for us all would be to be going back to our board saying, well, it went up last year, but this year it's coming down because ICANN's spending less on this or less on that. So it's better to have that longer-term stability, I think.
Okay. Anybody want to weigh in on where the appropriate balance would lie? So let me just fill in on that. Just in terms of my perspective, I think that we want to have some ability to have a review, given that we don't have clarity on how the new GTLD landscape is really going to affect ICANN in terms of expenses. Balanced against the point of stability that Keith raises, which I think we can probably all agree none of us want to be going back to our boards on a annual basis saying the ICANN expense is up and down and up and down and up and down. So somewhere in the middle, we need to find a balance. Keith's suggestion, perhaps, of after the initial three-year ramp in a five-year term seems reasonable on, you know, on first blush. Does that that make sense to the group?
Lisa here. I think timing is very important because we're just launching new TLDs now. So if you launch that now and wait for a year, I think that's too long a period. And I think that we should, I agree, we shouldn't evaluate every year or every second year. That's too often. But, you know, we should do it before the 3 years. Because if we decide on this now, and it's still voluntary, but if we decide on this fee band, it's looking good, and the costs are looking good, then I think we should evaluate in a year or two, in fact, because then the new TLDs would have, you know, gone through, well, some period and must have shown on the share expenses.
Okay.
And I have another one that's not about evaluation, but if we have this introduction to the slides, I would like us to make the assumption that ICANN is cut conscious. So there.
Sorry, can you just repeat that? That ICANN is what?
Cost conscious.
Okay. Yeah.
So they are not overspending, because that's what well, as a nonprofit, you should, you know, take care of not using too much money, or, and of course not too little, but still, we don't have any anything about how ICANN should spend their money in this introduction. I recognize they spend money, and they're a nonprofit, I'm not for profit, but there's a lot of money coming into ICANN, and I'd really like to have, you know, this stated in the paper, too.
Okay, fair point. Any thoughts on that? That in terms of, let's call it the points on the voluntary contribution slide, that one of the general principles would be recognizing that ICANN itself behaves in a cost-conscious way.
An efficient way. Yeah.
Cost-efficient.
Sorry, this is Seeger. Yeah, I agree with Lisa, and I must admit that I have to think it a little bit over the slide you have. I think in principle they are fine on a high level, but for sure that something comes to my mind. So if it's okay to the group, I will get back to you on the next conference call.
Okay.
Byron, this is Schlag.
Go ahead.
I think I absolutely agree that say ICANN should be cost conscious, but my question is whether that should be part of this exercise or whether that should be more in the remit of the SOP working group. Because what I see right now is, say, we're going into the ways ICANN is using the money, and that's the result, in fact, of the discussion the SOP is having with ICANN.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it probably never hurts to reinforce the message or say it twice.
Yeah.
Like any good communications, it takes multiple instances of the message. Does anybody really, I hear what you're saying, Bart. Does anybody really object to adding that high-level principle in the expenditure of resources of which we're impacted as a community? ICANN will govern itself in a very cost-efficient manner, or some such wording to that effect. Does anybody object to that? Yeah, we've heard Seeger and Lees suggest they're certainly in favor of it. Would people generally be favorable to add that as a principle?
Keith, yeah. I'd be happy to see a principle added for that.
Okay. And Eduardo, maybe I could just ask you, put you on the spot right now. think that would help in addressing the issue that you raised. If you're talking, Eduardo, you're on mute. But maybe I'll keep going, and you can jump in. In terms of the principle, the rest of the principles, and there's five identified.
Yes.
There are five identified and two sub-bullets. Are there any comments or feedback on those? You know, we've heard, I think, a valuable addition. With the rest of the principles articulated here,
no.
Are we capturing it?
I just have one comment, and is if we are gonna think, what about those guys, those CCTLDs that are not contributing? Who are in charge of them? Are gonna be us or the rest of the CC community, or they are gonna be a part of ICANN, so part of the DNS sustainability, or I don't know. Something, I guess, that we need to think something about those guys that are not contributors.
And are you suggesting that there should be, in a set of high-level principles that sort of articulate a framework, are you suggesting that we should try to have something in here that would address the notion of non-contributors within the CC community? Am I understanding your comment?
I really don't know, Byron.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean that's certainly going to, you know, we haven't really talked about that in this call, but that's certainly.
No, I really don't know, Byron.
Okay. Any other?
No, probably not here. Okay.
Okay, we've got a bit of a lag between us.
Okay, it's Lisa talking. I don't think we should put anything in with people not paying. Let's focus on the positive part in this one.
Okay.
It's Keith here. I don't think it's the job of the CCNSO to gather the fees. I think we're setting a framework here, and it's then handed over to ICANN for ICANN to. I mean, ICANN's not going to come with an enforcement regime of deleting us from the IANA database if we don't pay or anything like that. But I think it becomes ICANN's issue to collect the money, not ours. So I think we should avoid any mention of that in the principles that you know, the first word of this slide, voluntary, says it all.
Right. So maybe let me just press on that a little bit, though. Recognizing I got lightly chastised for using the word free rider last meeting. But
okay.
For those who are not paying, I think Keith is entirely right. We're not in the compliance or the enforcement business or the collection business, as the CCNSO. But there's still somewhere on the spectrum between enforcement and collection and silence. That, you know, should we be doing anything in terms of communication or making comment on that issue, encouraging, or do we just leave, are we just silent on that issue, speak to the positive and the framework, and let ICANN worry about the rest of it?
I see where you're coming from, and I have no issues with the CCNSO encouraging members to pay their fair dues. I think if we don't, then what's the point of going through the exercise? So encouragement is one thing, but any, you know, I don't see us issuing invoices or following up or for chasing the secretariat to find out who has paid or not, but it could be a
regular
process of encouragement, if that's what you mean. I've got no problems with that at all.
Okay. Okay, well, maybe I'll just take another moment
okay,
or two.
Okay, I agree, and I agree that I agree with you, Kay.
Okay, thank you, Eduardo and Keith. Maybe we'll just take another minute here on this slide before we go to the Excel slide. Are there any other comments put on what is written here or anything that's not captured here? I know, Seeger, you're going to take some time to think about it and perhaps have some more feedback later, but anybody else want to speak on this slide or the general principles? Hearing none for now, let me just recap some of the key points that I've heard, that I think that it would be reasonable to have a principle in there that speaks to ICANN working in a cost-efficient or cost-conscious manner, and that there would be some review that could capture any potential change in relative expense allocations, but that review would be periodic as opposed to annual. And time to be defined, but certainly not an annual one. So let me take another crack at this, another version of it that captures the essence of those 2 points, and I'll provide it back before the next meeting. And perhaps any other feedback, please, you can send it straight to me. So with that, we'll move on to the actual banded model, which I think is the next slide here. Right. And we just created this so that, as I said, this is effectively an equation with a limited number of variables. And if we accept, and I'm using this as an assumption, but if we accept the $3.69 million number that ICANN has put forward, at least to work with for now, then there's only so many variables that we can play with to try to get to that number, and that's effectively what the little Excel model that was created allows everybody to do, to sort of fine-tune and play with the bands. Now, there's a couple of assumptions here. One is that it's roughly $3.7 million that we're aiming for, and two, that there was a general acceptance, and that's what I heard from Beijing, that there were 6 bands would be a reasonable number. I think that's expanded 1 from the previous, the current regime of 5 bands. And that just reflects that they're, the changing size of the registries over time since 2006, when the current iteration was created. But of course, there is a bit of subjectivity in terms of the contribution amount per CC, and that's the table. I mean, if you look within the table, if you look at the column, has $225,000 allocated against the registries of greater than 5 million names. So this was an attempt to be a straw man model, but allowed everybody to have the opportunity to play with it and see if they could come up with an equation that met the final objective, but that for some reason seemed to be a better allocation. So I throw it open to the group to provide any feedback or commentary on the bands or the allocations per CC. Or have we captured at least the essence of the conversations that flowed out of Beijing here? Because there's nothing like putting hard numbers to general concepts to, of course, get people's attention.
Well, hi, Byron, this is Seeger.
Yeah.
For us, being in the A band width, it would mean a serious increase in our contribution. We are not against it to contribute more over time, but we would certainly not go in the first instance to the amount you suggested in the sheet. But in principle, we are for contributing more as a community, and we think this could work. And we also think that we should do it as a community, not only with the number of CCs who are contributing now, but we hope that we convince others also to join us. And if there's people not being capable of paying the amount tied to the bandwidth, then that can be discussed, of course. But we would like to see as many people joining this scheme and taking responsibility for our role as CCs towards ICANN and vice versa. So that's a general notion from SIDN, and I think this is not news to you because Ruth has said it before as well.
Okay, thank you. Well, and obviously, I certainly appreciate that general, what I would call philosophical support of the model from SIDN, given obviously this would have a non-trivial impact on the largest of the registries in terms of the contribution. So clearly it's important to get that feedback. And I think, within your comment you raised a point about not being able to or being willing to make a change in the first year, which I certainly appreciate. And I think within the principles that we just talked about, one of them was the notion that in working towards this new framework that there would be a three to 5 year ramp up to get to this new dollar contribution amount. So that's definitely considered within the actual framework.
Byron, it's Lisa talking. Denmark is also strongly in support of contributing, but I'm a little concerned about how we put in the band and the numbers, because, like in center, you don't have numbers you don't have the bandwidth according to how many domain names you have. You take the bandwidth and you say, I want to be in this one. You put pressure on the different CCTLDs by saying, if you have more than 1 million, you should be in bandwidth C. Like, we're in C. We're above 1.2 million. And we pay 25,000 a year, and this would be a triple. And I'm sure my board would be very annoyed if we should pay a triple. But I like the idea of having them so you can choose. I'm not fond of how we put in the numbers of the main names. And I think I agree we should pay more, and even Denmark would consider paying more, but I don't have my board's approval for that, but I'll certainly bring it for the board. But still, I'm not happy about how we put in the different numbers in how you relate it to the main name. So
let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question then. Is it about the domain names? I mean, if I simply took this slide and stripped out the domain name guidance and just had bands A through F but no number of domains beside them and just said, we as a group said, okay, pick your band. Is that going to address your concern?
That would be so much better for me. And we have talked about this too, because you have one of the biggest CCTLDs don't take any money for domain names. So actually, they might be in band A, but if they don't make any money, you can't pay $225,000. So for me, it's more important to say to people, we have these six bands, C bands, and you can. Anyway, we would anyway in Denmark we would pick what we think was right, and I'm not sure we would commit to a fee band. We might raise our contribution, but like we would pay maybe double instead of 25, we'd pay 50. So I like the fee band idea. We might not even play by it from Denmark from our side, but I think it's a good idea still, even though. But I don't like the relation to the number of domain names, because I don't think you cause more trouble be having more domain names. So you shouldn't pay more for having more. And that's kind of, in principle, relating to the ICANN idea of paying per domain name, like the GTLD stuff.
Right, I mean... However, I guess that is, you know, it is, again, one of the underlying assumptions that those registries that have far larger domains under management, as a general rule, have a greater capacity to pay. .tk being an edge case that, you know, that's one of those edge cases we can all point to, but I wouldn't want to build a general framework based on the edge case. And though they have whatever 15 million domains or whatever the number is right now, and don't charge, all that means is we don't understand their business model. They're certainly not running a 15 million domain registry for free. But you know, without going into everybody's individual business models or revenue models, we still some, you know. Here's the challenge, right? We have, in this case, a six-variable equation that leads to a fixed outcome. If we agree on the fixed outcome, i.e. $3.691 million, then it's simply a question of taking those six variables and finding a way to get them to $3.691 million. And
I know.
So my concern here, Lise, is if we don't, it's voluntary, right? The title, word number one, voluntary. But we want to give enough guidance that people think about it. And let's take DK, for example. We're not saying you have to pay $75,000. That's not the case at all here. But we're certainly, you know, strongly suggesting that if the community believes we should pay our own way, i.e. $3.6 million, this is how, what we're going to have to do to get there. And then I guess my take on it is, at the very least, you have to make a conscious decision not to fund in the band. And you're free to do so. But it'll at least give every registry pause for thought to make a conscious decision about not doing it. And that's why I think that's why I put the numbers there, to make everybody go, well, okay, I see how it works, and if we do this, then there's a reasonable, and you'll notice I picked the word reasonable, not equitable, because I think it's almost impossible to talk about fairness here, because everybody will have a different take, but at least a reasonable distribution.
Yeah.
And then you're free not to.
Yeah. And it's okay. I'm not gonna. Well, I should say I don't like the idea of relating to the number of domain names,
mm-hmm.
and because that has nothing to do with the revenue of a business. You can have like a zero, and you couldn't afford paying triple the fee you do now, or you could have tons of money, you know, being a small registry. So for me, this is not how. It's a guideline, and I will not. I don't think we should discuss that anymore. But I just.
Okay.
So So I'm not going to, what do you, set my foot and say, no, 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 but I find it too much up the alley of how you do with the GCRD.
Okay.
Duly
noted. Keith, go ahead.
Sort of following up on several threads here. One, I recall my days as chair of APTLD and having the same debate we're having right now about whether this relates to the number of domain names or the revenue earned by the registry and so on. What APTLD decided to do was, in its bans and suggested contributions, was list a sort of a semi-correlated domain name number and revenue per registry number, and said if you fit somewhere around these bands, choose an amount you want to pay, and go ahead and pay it. And that wasn't a bad way out. And that was during a time where China was doing what Tokelau now is doing and giving away free domain names. So China had that problem of not much revenue, but quite a large number of domain names.
Mm-hmm.
As a methodology, it probably wouldn't be a bad thing, and it's not a request for people to divulge what their registry is earning in terms of revenue. It's just part of the overall matrix of allowing choice.
So just so I can be clear on this. Are you suggesting that effectively we continue to, let's say, have six bands, but in the bands there would be, let's say we left it as is, there would be a domains under management element?
Yeah.
And or a revenue element?
Yeah.
And as a registry, you could say, I'm going to be in this band because either A, I'm of this general domains under management side, or B, I fall into this general revenue category.
Yes, correct. And I'd be
That's
happy
interesting.
To, I'd be happy to dig out the APTLD structure and post the link to the list to show you how APTLD have coped with that. And it's worked for APTLD for more than 10 years now. So it's sort of, it's as a guideline for you to select from, not rule. There are always going to be anomalies. There are always the anomalies of those who charge very little or nothing. I think this is an issue about greatest good for greatest number, and it would be impossible. I mean, we'd be the last people on earth who would want to find a compulsory lever that everyone has to abide by. So we're appreciating the no one-size-fits-all solution, so give people a choice and trust them to be sensible and forthcoming with reasonable fees. But going on to the actual fees, I'd have to say we're in the band D for .nz, and that reflects exactly what we're paying now, so it's no increase or decrease to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I'm seeing here is significant increases at the top and potentially decreases at the bottom as you get down to band E and F. And I wonder if some tinkering with the quantum there might be a bit more appropriate. And I was thinking more along, or even the chance of adding one more band. And I think you could have a band E that was 250,000 to 500,000, have a band F that's 50,000 to 250,000, and then you could have a sub 50,000. And I think the 50,000 to 250,000 category should easily be paying 10,000, and each of the others could go up. Band E and band D could go up by $5,000 a piece easily. That's just my thoughts. And given that there's an element here of flat fee, the cost of our IANA services don't vary that much between a 15 million name registry and a 500 name registry. So recognizing that as well, you know, the guys, other than people who are absolutely start-up or you know, brand new in the game or will never have very high numbers where something like $500 is probably quite appropriate. You know, let's say that anyone over 50,000 probably has, in general, a cash flow model that should allow them to pay, you know, 5,000 or something like that. So that's yeah, that's my thought, is that, you know, you're potentially punishing those at the top a little too heavily and letting off the people at the bottom a little too lightly.
Okay. Thank you for that feedback. I'd appreciate the link to the APTLD.
Yeah, I'll post that
model. That's interesting.
I'll post that to the list as soon as I can find it.
Okay.
Sorry, Byron. I have to leave the call. I have another call coming up.
Sure. I was just about to say, recognizing what time it is, we're about a minute or two past our date, so I'm just going to. Well, first off, thank you for the feedback. There's been a lot of good feedback. Two, I'm going to look at the voluntary contribution principles and refine them based on a couple of the good comments there. And I'll also tweak the bands to reflect some of the feedback we've heard here, and also do a little bit of research to see if we can incorporate potentially, or at least see what it looks like, to incorporate another element, the revenue element, to the bands to give people choice. So certainly the action items and the takeaway, and also remind Xavier of his commitment. And just also remind all of you that Xavier will be on the next call, which we are hoping will be June 25th. So with that, I will bring this call to a close. Thank you very much, everybody. That was very helpful. And hopefully we're continuing on with the momentum that we saw and created in Beijing. So with that, thank you all. Have a great day. And
thanks,
bye for
Brian.
Now.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Byron.
All right.
Cheers. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Aaron. Cheers. Bye.
Sweet dreams.